Well, does every soul go through heaven states and hell states at some time?
Yeah.
And but with you, when you're your father, do you have less lifetimes that you go through?
Yeah.
Before you die and you look at.
Why have we to go through heaven and hell states is to spend our impressions. That means Baba uses the word spending. What he means by it is experience those impressions, opposite impressions. So if they are negative impressions, we call them hell state. If they are positive impressions to be spent after we are disembodied, then it's known as heaven state. Yeah. It's all just the experience of the consciousness. Consciousness experiencing the burden of impressions on itself. That's all. So being with him, naturally, there are less chances of we do have burden, but that burden is lighter burden than many, many others who are unfortunate. So that's how the span of our being in hell state or heaven state is also small, and repetition of reincarnation is also limited. Baba has gone out of his way and said, why do you wish to know how many reincarnations are there for you to realize? Why? It's your birthright to realize and be free from this bondage in this very birth. That's why human body is there. In this very birth you can do it, but you don't want it. You say you want it, but you don't want it. You want to have the game. You say that I'm tired of the game, yet you play the game because you're enticed by the game, like that. So if you really want it, you can. You want to hear a story about it, how you can and what makes you do that? It comes to my mind. There was a person who had realized, and he realized his true self through love for the Lord, which is always the case. But before we do that, we go through all the different schools of thoughts. Some go in for yoga, some go in for sadhanas and become ascetics and renounce the world and all sorts of things, you see, they do it. But eventually, it all leads to loving the Lord with one-pointed devotion. So there was a certain person who did get out of the burden of all these impressions, and he was there, and he was acting like a must, you know, that's intoxicated in love, and he's there. Now, in that city, or in the neighborhood of that city, two examples are there. There was a certain person who, in the city, where this man was there, so one day he is passing by and a man from the house opened the door wanting to go to school. He was a school teacher and he and his family lived humbly, remember the Lord in their own way, in the most natural way, loved him in their most natural way. Look, humdrum life is there. So seeing this man walking like that on the road, he was attracted to his bearing. So who could this be? Who is that person? He said, Maharaj, Maharaj we call a great soul. Where are you going like this? He says, I am going to my Lord. Oh, you are going to my Lord too? See, yeah, our Lord is one and the same. Will you carry a message from him? From me to him? He says, sure. What is the message that you want me to convey to him? Say that I remember him and love him. and ask him, how many more births will I have to take before I get out of this humdrum life? Sure, I'll ask. And give my salutations to my Lord. So I'll give it. Then he's going in his own overwhelmed state that he was there, intoxicated state. He passes by and he goes out of the city and comes across a little forest area. And there he sees, there he doesn't see, there was a man seated there in meditation, an ascetic. And he's there all with one-pointed attention and meditation, he is focusing upon the Lord, remembering the Lord that way. His eyes open and he sees this man passing by. Again his attraction, he's attracted. Maharaj, where are you going like this? What's happened to you? He says, I'm going to my Lord. So this man, the ascetic there, who was in meditation, looked at this man and says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to my Lord. He says, really? He said, yeah. What surprises you? I'm on my way to him. He says, then will you convey my message to him? He says, sure. What's the message? He says, tell him that I am here for past 21 years, waiting for him. Ask him how many more years are there for me to wait like this for you. And give my salutations to him. He says, sure. So years pass by, many more years have passed from the moment of encounter and all that. One fine day, this man comes back again the same route. Again he sees this man. He says, well, did you convey my message to my Lord? He says, yeah. What did he say? He says, I am well pleased with you, and you still have 7 more lives to go before you can come to me. 7 more lives, in spite of my spending this whole life in remembering him? So that's the message? Yes, sir. What can I say? And he goes again to the city, towards the city. Coincidence is that school teacher happens to confront him. He says, well, you have come again to this place. He says, have you visited your Lord? He says, yeah. Did you convey my message? He said, yeah. What did he say? How many more lives? He says, you have a tree in your courtyard? He says, yeah, I've got a big tree, people tree. So the Lord simply says that he has got as many lives as the number of leaves on the tree to realize me. Really, he said that? That means he has taken cognizance of me, and he was so overjoyed with this that at last something has reached him. And he was just overwhelmed. Just then what happened was that the tree died and all the leaves got shed. And there was not a single leaf. And he realized. So one cannot judge by one's actions or anything, but one's own, what you call, depth of devotion. That's all. Not through any mechanical means to reach him. So that's how it is said. Have you heard the heaven and hell states are both within us? Have you heard that? It's all within us. Yeah. There's no such thing as a...
There's no place heaven and hell.
Yeah, you know that? That story, you heard that? About the great... the monarch that got peeved with a man who was seated in his marketplace there. So, it's a great illustration of what it is. We make great thing about heaven and hell and all that. It is. It's a state. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a place. There's no such thing as a place like heaven or hell. It's a state of one's consciousness that undergoes these experiences. Even though we are not embodied. Yeah. Don't you say in your own lifetime sometimes... Oh my, what a hell this is that I'm living in. It's like, yeah. So, but you're living in the same pleasant and goody world. You see that others are living, but you feel it that it's a hell. because you it's a state within you. That's how it is. So there's a nice story about it. There was once a man, a pious man, a saintly person, all by himself seated at a marketplace there, on the crossroads. He just kept himself quiet on one corner of the crossroad and seated there. With the passage of time, people got fascinated with just remaining. He didn't ask for anything, he didn't relate himself to anybody and just remained seated there, nothing, doing nothing. When people would come and sit down and gape at him, there was something in him that attracted the human beings. So they would come and sit there, they would feel that great peace and calm within themselves, and he just remained seated. He appeared to be looking at something, somebody, but nothing. It was just as if he looked through and through the whole crowd. With the passage of time, the crowd increased to a larger and larger number. Traffic jam. No way to get out, no way to go to the market, you had to just cross over somebody or something like that. News reached to the monarch, because it was in the capital of that great king. So one of the ministers broached the subject, "Sire, we have got a person here in our capital, we have to take great care about him." "Well, what's the matter?" "Well, people have got attracted to him and all that. It's not good." "But what has that to do with me?" "I draw your attention, sire, because people's voice is there. Suppose if he doesn't speak with anybody, he doesn't do anything. But suppose if he were to raise his voice and say something against the kingdom, they would all rise in uproar and just overthrow the kingdom. They are so mad after this man, who is mad himself. He doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything, but it's like that. So I'm just drawing your attention." So the monarch didn't like that. He says, "But why do they go to him?" "I don't know, but people are mad after him." He says, "He doesn't speak." "I haven't heard him speak at all." "All right, let me go and find out for myself. I'll put a question to him. Let us see what he says." So he goes, and royal retinue is there. He goes with his royal robe and all that, carrying a sword. Usually the kings used to do that. And he goes there, confronts this man who is seated up in the marketplace. Says, "Hey man, tell me. I want an answer from you. Tell me, what is heaven and what is hell?" And the man sits there without answering anything. Thinking that he is deaf or something like that, he goes close to him and says, "Have you heard what I am asking you? What is hell and heaven? Tell me what's the answer for it. What is hell? What is heaven?" No answer. He got so peeved because embarrassment is there. He is the royal king, the monarch, and all subjects are there. He says, if he just draws his sword out and says, "If you are not going to answer, I'm going to kill you." So he draws his sword. All of a sudden, a soft voice comes out. He says, "That is hell." Oh, thinking that he's going to speak something, he puts his sword back in the sheath. And then he says, "That is heaven." That's all. That's the difference. You raise hell within yourself and you nurture heaven within yourself. It all depends on you. It's a good example.